This is Jordan Secchio on Jay Secchio Live. Congress will be voting soon to avoid a government shutdown. Will the president sign it if it gets to his desk?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This has made some progress. Nancy Pelosi said she wasn't going to give a dollar for the wall. This has roughly $1.4 billion that'll go towards the wall that the whole country knows that we need, knows that the president is going to make happen.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
In total, it gives about $23 billion in border security, which is desperately needed. It expands ICE versus abolishes ICE, like we've heard some Democrats talk about in the past. So there are some positives in this bill.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3112 as we edge closer and closer to a vote in Congress. And then ultimately the decision, if it does pass Congress, which is expected to, the decision by the President of the United States to sign this compromise agreement that is now being put, it has been put to legislative text. It's over 1,500 pages. Now, that may sound like a lot, and it is in legislative talk, but every one of those lines, or almost every one of the lines, then cites another part of that existing code. So you're talking, if you put it all together, thousands upon thousands of pages. It would be difficult for anyone to say with a straight face, not that they actually just read the 1,500 pages, but they read the 1,500 pages and everything it cites to and then put it all together. So this is that issue with kind of legislating the Nancy Pelosi style of pass it and then find out what's in it. But it is also the reality many our president is dealing with a divided Congress after the midterm elections. And again, there are... And when you've got this kind of partisan issue, unfortunately, this become partisan, like border security, which is now a right versus left issue, certainly. And the left has kind of championed this idea, as Nancy Pelosi said, not $1 or maybe just $1 for a border wall is all I will authorize. And now there's suddenly there's almost $1.4 billion to build border wall. So there's been some change there on the left. That being said, there's also a lot of restrictions on the rest of the money. In fact, it appears, I think, close to 300 times, none of the funds may be used for. None of the funds may be used for this. None of the funds may be used for that. Now, there's ways the president could do this and issue a signing statement along with the bill. Say, I disagree with the amount of restrictions or how serious these restrictions are. Take a listen. This is Brett Baer kind of explaining this none of the funds can be used portions of this legislation, Byte 17.
None of the funds can be used comes up 297 times in the bill, phrased differently than usually in legislative jargon, but it means that no such funds or none of the funds can be used for X, Y, and Z, puts handcuffs on where the money can be moved around within this pot.
So the question, I'll go to Than Bennett here. Than, in Washington, D.C., it's been a switch since yesterday. It first appeared the House was going to vote on this first. Now it's the Senate scheduled to vote later on today after they vote on the vote on the new Attorney General, Bill Barr. So it's after that vote, which will be occurring while we're live on the air, may not even be finished until we're after the broadcast today. So sometime later today, the Senate is scheduled to vote first on this compromise legislation to avoid a shutdown.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that change, Jordan, has to do with the time that this legislative text came out. It came out very late last night, so I think they're trying to work all 435 members of the House through the bill to make sure they have the votes to pass it there. They will need a majority of Democrats to move the bill through the House, Jordan. I think the bill will clear the Senate when it happens later this afternoon or evening. But I would say this. This is why you're going to hear from the White House. We're going to have our attorneys going through this text line by line to make sure that these restrictions aren't something that catches us off guard. I will tell you, Jordan, as I've gone through it, I think it's pretty much as was described in the reports. But again, 1,500 pages cross-tabbed against the entire U.S. code. I can guarantee you, down at the White House, those attorneys are working furiously to make sure they understand what's in this bill by the time the president has to make a decision on it.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking your phone calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. So I think if it gets to the president's desk, he will likely sign it because it's got funding for the wall in it, and he can find other funds elsewhere as we continue to talk about it. We'll continue to talk about it. We want your thoughts as well. Let's say you have the ear of the president, or you're advising a member of Congress right now on what to do. What would you say? 1-800-684-3110. It's time to voice your opinion.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So the text is out, 1,500 plus pages, of what is primarily funding for the Department of Homeland Security to avoid a government shutdown. Now, we thought yesterday, because the House had scheduled a vote, or put a placeholder vote, at least, and even for yesterday, and then possibly today, it looks like the Senate will be voting first. Now, they've got that scheduled vote. Now, that's after the Attorney General's the nominee's vote, Bill Barr's vote, which begins at 12:30 Eastern time today, and those can be open for, you know, an hour to let senators vote. So it's after that. So sometime later on today, if it passed the Senate, then it would, you know, the House would need to pass it. Then it would get to the president's desk. We're talking about 1,500 pages. Now, it would be easy, actually. I know that may sound extreme, but if it was just 1,500 pages, that would be pretty straightforward, honestly, for Congress. But all these lines in the proposed legislation, proposed drafts and legislative text have cites to other existing statutes. So you cannot just read this as 1,500 pages. You have to understand what every one of those, what does that statute mean that just references back? And so when you put these together, this is thousands upon thousands of pages, and is why everyone is careful on some of the biggest picture items to be saying, you know, as I read this, as I interpret how it is written, this is what will happen. So I think we can talk about a couple of things right off the top. We can clearly say that there's that authorization for 55 miles of border barrier, whatever terminology they want to use. These are the steel slates. And again, this is what the president has been supporting as being, it's called bollard fencing. Maybe that's a term that the Democrats will like more as well, because that is the official term of what is being installed. These are the steel slates, so you can still see through, which is also helpful for our border patrol agents. It also does not limit the number of DHS beds. It doesn't take away beds from ICE. And in fact, we believe, allows ICE to increase the number of beds. Now, some on the left may say it doesn't actually allow for an increase, but what they didn't get was a decrease. That is certain. Thanny, we can say with certainty they did not get a decrease in the number of beds.
Yes. I mean, what the language says, Jordan, is that they appropriate a similar amount of funds to last year, basically the same amount of funds, and then they are supposed to try to reduce the average bed-filled space to 40,520 by the end of the fiscal year, down from about 49,000. But, Jordan, what that text leaves out is a big portion of these beds are already funded with funds that are not in this bill. They're, ICE and DHS moves funds from another account to use this space. The analysis I saw this morning, Jordan, and these are going to vary a little bit, by one analysis, this expert thought that you could get up to about 60,000 beds based on what is in this bill. So up from 49,000 to 60,000. That would be an approximate increase.
Folks, you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tim in West Virginia on line one. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air with us.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate what you do and Judicial Watch. You guys do yeoman's work keeping thank America you. Safe, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have to say that we're already halfway through the second quarter. We're in Q2. We're going to be Q3.
Yeah.
From what I read on the news, it takes about a year to build 120 miles. So he takes this money. He got 6 months' worth of construction. It's like building a house. You don't need money all at once. Take this. It'll take them out to the end of the calendar year or the fiscal year. Come October 1, come back and get another couple billion, plus the money that he can move around internally to DHS. So I see this as a win-win. You know, you don't need to have a bunch of money that you can't spend at the end of the FY anyway. So I think this is the perfect time to see the opportunity, go for it, and then continue to pursue other options to move money around within DHS, which is a huge organization.
Yeah, so
they're going to be looking for ways to spend money. End of year funding is going to be swept up come August, and they're going to be pulling it from FEMA, from Customs, from Border, from Coast Guard. So there's a whole lot of money to play with. I don't see why this is that big of a deal.
Well, you're of the position, Tim, and I tend to agree with you too. And what the president has put forward is that, you know, there's money elsewhere. This gives me a $1.3, almost $1.4 billion start. And we're talking about the fiscal year for Congress is out in at the end of September. So you're talking about, again, not an entire, this is not like all the funding ever or all the funding even for an entire year, Harry. It's funding for a number of months.
I think that's correct. And so I think Tim's analysis is sound. But I also would caution that there may indeed be landmines within the bill, but based on published reports, I think it's very important to note a few things. First, that House Speaker Pelosi has caved. She suggested that she was unwilling to give more than $1 to fund the wall, and clearly this bill allocates more than $1 billion for the wall. Secondly, the bill expands ICE's capacity to secure the border. The bill provides, I believe, more than $23 billion in border security. So I would say in a perfect world, I might have difficulty supporting this particular bill, but we do not live in a perfect world. And so it's also important to keep in mind that any bill that causes House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to cave is a step in the right direction.
So, okay, so we've got, it's 1,159 pages of legislative text. It's less than 1,500, just to be clear for everybody. So it's 1,100 plus pages. But honestly, I mean, just to be clear with you, if you add up all the citations, you're talking about thousands of pages. So we're looking at the top line, most important items for the next 6 months. I think that's what you want to look at in dealing with this. I'm still of the belief, I think that there's questions abound always, but still of the belief that if it does pass both the House and the Senate and gets to the president's desk, that he will sign it. He might sign it with a signing statement. We'll explain, you know, kind of what that is. President Obama did that often, where you say yes, but you know, all these limits that you put, these do not, none of the funds disagree in how you can try to limit the executive branch from using funds as it sees fit once you've appropriated the funds. But again, we're talking about a battle for 6 months of funding and the idea of a potential shutdown. And the president has said all along, you know, this is a president. He didn't say all of the funding would come from Congress to build this wall. In fact, it was always about looking at creative ways to have really Mexico, like it or not, end up paying for the wall. One of the ideas out there is to have a Mexican drug lord pay for a lot of the walls. I think Daryl's calling in about this. It's proposed by Senator Ted Cruz. Daryl, in from Florida on line two. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw an article on the internet last night that Senator Ted Cruz suggested using some of the billions of dollars El Chapo has squirreled away. Is there any truth or possibility to that happening?
The legislation has been proposed. The El Chapo Act has been proposed. And so, Harry, we talked about this yesterday after the broadcast because this was coming out while we were on the air. the idea of using, I can see why it's, you know, I think it'd be great to use El Chapo's. That probably estimated somewhere around $14 billion in assets that the U.S. could seize from El Chapo, whether some of that is property, money that in our financial institutions or financial institutions that we can reach because it's, you know, a U.S. bank and linked to a U.S. bank. So we're talking about a significant chunk. It would pay for more than half of what the president thinks to finish all of the construction just from El Chapo. The question is, could you just seize the money, or do you need Congress to pass legislation to authorize this? And so because of all of the legislative citations, Harry, this is another one of those issues where there's 30-plus citations and statutes on just forfeiture, and this is after you're convicted. He's been convicted of crimes that mean he'll be spending life in prison. That with this legislation, Congress would be authorizing it. You could authorize, it's certainly possible, to utilize these funds that are captured in asset forfeiture after someone's convicted of a crime this way, to use it to build the wall.
I think that's correct. So it's important to note first, as you correctly point out, that there are more than 30 statutory provisions in the federal criminal code already on criminal forfeiture. And criminal forfeiture is referred to in legal jargon as an in personam action because it is pursued as part of a criminal case against one or more persons, and the forfeiture of assets is considered to be part of the punishment for the crime along with any jail time. So the key question is whether or not you could then take the funds from El Chapo and then reserve them for border security. Based on my understanding of the law, the current answer is no. However, Senator Ted Cruz has introduced a bill entitled the Ensuring Lawful Collection of Hidden Assets to Provide Order Act in the 116th Congress first session. The bill would reserve any amounts forfeited to the United States government as a result of the criminal prosecution of El Chapo to essentially secure the border. I think that is necessary and needed, and I think most Americans, including most Democrats and independents, would support such a bill.
And folks, I think, again, the big question here for you, what we want to hear from you today is, what would you tell a member of Congress right now, a House member or a member of the U.S. Senate, as they prepare to vote on this legislation? What would you advise them to do? What would you advise the president to do if it ends up on his desk? I mean, they have to get it to his desk first, or else they are the cause of the shutdown. But they do have to get it to his desk. 1-800-684-3110. What is your advice? What do you think should be done? We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And we're examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
The big question, folks, right now, I just said it during a break talking to our Facebook and Periscope audience, is whether there is a deal killer within this text that is now scheduled for a vote in the U.S. Senate after they vote on the nominee to be attorney, the next Attorney General, Bill Barr. His vote is scheduled to begin in just about 10 minutes. Then that vote alone could take an hour, right? I mean, you know, if they actually vote, start on time, how long they leave it open.
Yeah, it's a roll call vote. So, Jordan, it just depends on how quickly all 100 senators get to the floor. And I'll just tell you from experience, it could go quickly, but it could also be a couple of hours.
Yeah, and then they're scheduled. It does look like, Than, the Senate is going to vote first on this.
It does, and it might not immediately follow that vote, Jordan. I mean, it's the next item of business, but the vote doesn't have to be called as soon as it's up. I'm guessing here, but I'm thinking that they probably won't call the roll until they hear from Speaker Pelosi that she is close enough to being willing to ready to call the vote in the House, that when it's done in the Senate, it could move over to the House and essentially be taken up immediately.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want your opinions as well. And again, it's not trying to say there's really a right answer here. It's more what are you thinking? Depending on background, where you are in life, your position, like, you know, you work for the government, you have a family member that works for the government. How does a shutdown affect you? Or the idea that, you know, we've been through this, we're getting more funding than Nancy Pelosi said the president would ever get. She said she would authorize only a dollar or not even a dollar, depending on which statement you use from Nancy Pelosi. This authorizes close to $1.4 billion, and we're only talking about for the next 6 months. But I think that there is strong opposition to this idea. I mean, there's still a group of people out there. I think Cindy from Illinois on Line 3 is part of that. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, by the way, who believe that no deal should be made here. Cindy, you're on the air. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Jay. When I first heard this the other day and you were asking opinions, I thought there's no way. You know, he just needs to shut it down again and hold out, because to me, he doesn't have that long before 2020. He's got to get as much money as he can. And Pelosi, to me, she would just pull out if she can at all. But since I've been listening to you today and there's possibility, a good possibility of getting funding someplace else, then, you know, then I think President Trump has enough sense, enough common sense to know what to do.
Yep.
And I don't think he'll do something stupid. I really don't. I think I got a lot of faith in
him.
You
gotta trust the president to make the right call. I think, you know what it is, Cindy, where I'm at right now is landmines. If someone points me to something that I think is just absolutely a deal killer, I think he's still at that point where, yeah, you don't go along with it just to go along with it because, oh, it's just 6 months more. But so far, they tried to limit like the DHS ICE ability to house illegal immigrants, criminals as well. That's been reportedly taken out. If that was found to not have been taken out, but, you know, some kind of legislative text use, I think, Cindy, listen, for me, I'd say, okay, no, you're not going to support that. So I think that there's potential landmines that people may uncover. They'd have to uncover them pretty quickly. Now, we do get into this holiday situation, Than, for the federal government on Monday. So there's ways that this, technically, I think the president could have until Tuesday, the way it falls on a weekend and then a federal holiday. So, I mean, but it looks like Congress will try and get this done well before that. We say that. They love going into the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we get to midnight tomorrow night and there's not a deal, Jordan, I think you'd see it reported all across the news as a government shutdown beginning. But in all reality, the impact of that wouldn't start taking place until Tuesday. So, look, if Friday night comes and the president does not yet have assurance that he's comfortable with what's in here, I would advise him to take the time that he needs to be comfortable with it before making an ultimate decision. Because, look, I completely relate to what I heard in Cindy's voice, which was being conflicted. I think the president's going to take a look at this, Jordan, and say, am I better better at? Will I get more wall completed? Will the United States border be more secure if I sign this or if I don't? And Jordan, I think that's going to be the entire calculation. If at the end of the day, he decides that $1.4 billion now, pulling from other sources and then fighting again at the end of the fiscal year will make the border more secure, then I think he'll sign it. If he thinks that vetoing it because of something they find in the bill is ultimately going to lead to a conclusion that we'll get the border secured faster, then I don't think he will. I think he's probably going to sign it, Jordan, but I think Cindy being conflicted is understandable, and I think that's why his team is pouring through it right now.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. What would you advise your member of Congress to do? You know, your House member, your senators to do? If you could be their chief of staff on this situation, their kind of leading voice within their team, what would you advise them to do face this? Do you advise them to vote no, risk a possible shutdown? Do you say, okay, we, you know, this is for 6 months of funding. It's got funding for new wall. The bed issue is no longer an issue for ICE. You can take that off the table. Obviously, we look for landmines, and until the vote is actually cast, you're always looking for anything like that. But let's be honest, Congress has not given itself a lot of time here. I mean, Harry, that's one of the issues, is that every time we analyze something, the idea that you could analyze something like this, even in a day, with a team of lawyers and know exactly how all the parts work. This is the Nancy Pelosi style of governing, which is part of dealing with the new Democrat majority in the House, is that they love to pass things before they read it, before they know what's in it.
I think that's absolutely correct. So first, on a surface level, A, you do have to look for landmines, but also you have to look deeper because the legislation is so complex. It's possible that there are landmines that are hidden which will not be observable until you have litigation over the president's discretion and his ability to secure the border. So I think the president's team needs to look at this legislation with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that there are no apparent or unapparent landmines. And I think that will take a lot of time. But also, we still have to look at another question. Before it gets to the president's desk, Congress has to sign off on this. And so I think Congress, both in the House and the Senate, they need to take a very careful look at this particular legislation to make sure that it actually advances the American interests as opposed to the interest of radical left-wingers.
All right, folks, take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Candy in Idaho online, too. Candy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, guys. I've got a question. From what I understand, how the law is written, it's supposed to go through the House of Representatives first, and they sign off on it, then go to the Senate, and then they sign off on it, and then it goes to the president. Why are they doing it backwards?
So, Than, explain. I mean, originally the House was going to take this up. I mean, in fact, they even had yesterday evening time scheduled. The text didn't come out until later, so that wasn't going to happen. You predicted that it would be today. But then they did a switcheroo, and it looks like the Senate will do it later on today. After the vote on the Attorney General nominee, Bill Barr, it doesn't mean right after.
Yeah, and there's not a specific requirement that the House take it up first. I think it's just a function of where the votes are right now, Jordan. I mean, there are some bills, for instance, a tax bill that has to originate in the House of Representatives. We've been through this before, though. Even in those situations, the Senate can take up an unrelated tax bill and just amend it to be the new bill. So this requirement does not apply here. The Senate can go first. It does look like the Senate is going to go first. But ultimately, both chambers have to pass it before the president can be presented with it.
All right, folks, we come back. We're taking your phone calls. What would you advise if you're the chief of staff for the House member, for a Senate member, for the President of the United States? How would you advise him to vote? Would you advise the president, if it gets to his desk, to sign it? 1-800-684-3110. Let your voice be heard. And by the way, Congressman Omar starts with some anti-Semitism again, this time going after the U.S. envoy to Venezuela, who has a long history of U.S. service. We'll have that sound when we come back.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So as we had the phone calls coming in and we're getting those ready, is how people would advise. Right now, it's if you were a chief of staff really to a House member or a member of the U.S. Senate to advise on this budget deal, which is mostly about funding the Department of Homeland Security to avoid a government shutdown, it needs to get to the president's desk soon. The first step, though, is Congress has got to act. The Senate is scheduled to vote. So if you're a chief of staff to a senator and you've got this vote scheduled for later today, what would you be advising him as a chief of staff based on what you know about this deal? So we want to get your thoughts on that at 1-800-684-3110. At the same time, let me play for you, because we told you Congressman Omar, just we were finishing out, Ilhan Omar, she's been in the news a lot because of this anti-Semitism, phony apologies. And she's still on the Foreign Affairs Committee after being condemned by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat House leadership. She went after a longtime member of the U.S. government, served many times, Elliot Abrams, happens to be a Jewish American, and her treatment of him, who he agreed to be the U.S. new U.S. envoy to Venezuela during this time where we've recognized a different leader than Maduro. And take a listen to her treatment of him. This is in the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the committee we've called on her to be removed from, and many have called on her to be removed from, because of her lack of judgment or intentional, and I believe it's intentional, anti-Semitism and the language she uses to stir up a very scary part of culture and society, not just in the U.S., but around the world, especially in the Muslim world that she comes from. Take a listen.
Mr. Adams, in 1991, you pleaded guilty to two counts of withholding information from Congress regarding your involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, for which you were later pardoned by President George H.W. Bush. I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful.
If I can respond to that,
it wasn't a question.
That was not a question.
That was I reserve the right to my time.
It is not right.
That was not a question.
Committee can attack
on February 8th,
who is not permitted to reply.
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation.
Okay, that treatment. Let me go to Than Bennett right away. Again. This is coming from a congresswoman who knows she's under the spotlight, and her position on the House Foreign Affairs Committee is under the spotlight, is obviously reading something. She's got someone on her staff who's preparing all this for her. I don't know if she even writes her own tweets. You have to question that now, because she didn't know even how to say Contra. I don't think that was just because – and I'm not trying to attack someone who's from a foreign country who became a member of Congress. If you actually see what she did, it was very intentionally. It wasn't like she was working through a word. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, obviously if you're coming from a foreign country, you become American, you can get elected, sure. But she had no idea what she was reading next. You know, that would happen if you put some piece of paper in front of people and they see a word that they're unfamiliar with, they may say it wrong and they haven't actually gone through it. So I think she knows what she's doing, Than, in the big picture. So she's attacking a Jewish American, not even letting them respond. She's laughing while she does it, smiling while she does it. And the truth is, why would they trust Elliot Abrams? I mean, the truth is with Elliot Abrams is those charges he gets pardoned for, the next administrations, the following administrations have all utilized him in government service. George W. Bush, Donald Trump now to be the special envoy. So since the 1980s, he's been called upon a number of times to serve the highest level of our government. That's why you trust what he said.
Yeah, well, to underscore your point, Jordan, she called him Mr. Adams at the start of this. So clearly she didn't do her own homework on this. But look, a bottom line, she says thank you for your participation at the end, yet she didn't even give an American hero a chance to answer the attacks leveled against him. Jordan, this is cut and dry for me, and this is going to sound harsh, but there is personal bias here. There is a personal animus on the part of Rep. Omar, and placing a member on a committee sends a message. She has no business being on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and Speaker Pelosi is going to have to come for terms of that. The only proper response here is to remove her from that committee.
And by the way, it didn't stop there. We have more to play for when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. Also, how would you advise a member of Congress to vote on this budget deal to avoid a shutdown and fund the Department of Homeland Security? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We want your opinion. We'll be right back.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I do want to get your thoughts on the budget deal. Here's why. Literally, the Senate has opened up the voting on the nominee to be Attorney General Bill Barr. When that concludes, it's expected that Bill Barr will be confirmed. The next item to take up is the funding bill in the U.S. Senate. So they've actually decided to go before the House on the vote. And again, this vote is happening. So it's going to be happening pretty soon. It could be later on today. By the way, it doesn't mean just because the next item that they're going to rush to it. But this 1,100 plus pages and all of the different subparts that it relates to, I want to get your thoughts on how you would advise. If you were the chief of staff to a U.S. senator who had to vote on this next few hours, what would you tell him to do? 1-800-684-3110. Would you say, okay, I support this because we get 6 months of funding, basically. We support the wall. We can look at other options like the El Chapo bill and other ways to find money. And the president can utilize other ways to find money to build more of border barriers and border walls where necessary and when necessary. Doesn't limit ICE ability to detain people who are here illegally and could be violent criminals as well. So take it as a win in a Congress where Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, said she wouldn't spend $1 for new wall, has now authorized, is supporting the idea of $1.4 billion and 55 more miles of wall. So how would you advise? If you had to take a vote, you know, you can't, no vote is not an option. So you've got to actually decide, yes or no. You can't just abstain. How would you advise a member of Congress? And then ultimately, I think if that gets through Congress into the president's desk, unless some landmine in the legislation is uncovered in that time period, it's likely the president will sign it as of today. But everyone right now is scurrying through it to see if there's some landmine that, and I think probably on both sides of the aisle, by the way. 1-800-684-3110 to give us a call. How would you advise? What do you think should happen on this legislation? And if it does get through the Congress, do you believe the president should sign it? So I'm not saying he's like endorsing this as some great, he's not. But if it ends up on his desk, should he sign this legislation? I want your thoughts on that as well at 1-800-684-3110. We are playing for you Congressman Omar. She continued her anti-Semitic attacks, this time targeting a pro-Israel Jewish member of the U.S. government, Elliot Abrams. She first gets his name wrong. She can't say Contra. And I mean, she doesn't, it's not even like she's saying it with an accent. She's mispronouncing the whole thing like she didn't even read it. But she's not even, finally she lets him respond. But it is absurd what she's asking. Remember, this is a member of the government she serves in too. Take a listen.
Yes or no, do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question. And I
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack, which
stop
is
right
not
there. Because I think he's going on and he's really never given the opportunity to fully explain it. And listen, he is much more respected than a junior member of Congress who's first elected. I'll tell you that. He's got a lot more power in Washington than she will likely ever have, which is probably what upsets her so much, because he's Jewish and he's pro-Israel and he's a Republican. And she's trying to say there, do you support massacres? Massacres. Now, listen, foreign policy and the history of it is complicated and complex, especially when you're dealing with other countries and how they engage in battle and war. Certainly things happen that are not good. As he said, no, I don't support that. This is absurd. But while he was saying that, she said, I'll take that as a yes. I mean, Jewish Americans specifically, and people from the with Jewish backgrounds or who identify as Jewish, the Holocaust, you know, real massacres, real genocides. What happened in Rwanda? Real massacres, real genocides. What happened in Sudan? Real massacres, real genocide. And I'm not to say that nothing bad ever happened in El Salvador. The idea that he's endorsing that and thinks that's a good thing, and that's the line of questioning. I mean, Than, when is it going to be enough? I'm at a certain point, I say, if this is where the Democrats want to go, as a conservative, so be it. Keep showing everybody your true colors if that's really the direction you're allowing your party to be taken.
Yeah, because they have something that they could do about this, Jordan. I mean, not only could Speaker Pelosi remove her from the panel, but look, the chairman, Elliot Engel, who came out and said that she's been behaving inappropriately. Jordan, he didn't do anything in that setting to let Elliot Abrams answer the question. And again, the congresswoman is welcome to disagree with Elliot Abrams, but the way that you do that is you engage in a conversation, you compare policy proposals, and then you see where the chips fall. Jordan, the reason she wouldn't let Elliot Abrams answer the question is because the substance of her answer would overwhelm the substance of the attack on him. And so, look, you can take either side you want on the policy position, but I've got to tell you, when I watch all of those exchanges, and there are more in addition to the ones that you played, Jordan, I come away with only one conclusion. There was animus on the part of the congresswoman for the witness that was sitting in front of her. And if you look at it in context of the tweets that she's made over the last week, there's really only one conclusion you can draw, Jordan, at least in my opinion, as to why that animus exists.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's anti-Jewish. I think it's anti-American. Yep. I think it's influenced by her Islamic background. Let's not hide from the truth, okay, about where she comes from and the what she's endorsed previously or tried to forgive or excuse the behavior of groups like Al-Shabaab and their Kenyan Mall attack. Individuals of Somali origin in America trying to join ISIS who are being and she's saying go light on them because, you know, all the politics, the Blame America crowd. I mean, this is the next extension of what President Obama started. So when you go around the world blaming, apologizing for America, and then new immigrants to America, you know, over the last 20 years, they rise all the way up. That's great. Wonderful. You get elected to Congress. Wonderful. And then you turn on your own country and you turn on a segment of that country, Jewish people, and you start again. Are we going to ignore her background, Somali Muslim? Because she's not ignoring Jewish backgrounds. She's not ignoring pro-Israel groups. And why can't we focus in on what is influencing her? It doesn't seem like it's the best ideas of what makes America great. Not to say we have a perfect history. I mean, Harry, far from it, or that every conflict is wonderful. Conflicts are horrible to begin with. People die. People get killed. Civilians also get killed, and you have to work with other militaries and other governments, which don't always do nice things. There's a difference between that and systematic genocide, systematic massacre, and endorsing that while you're in a conflict.
I think you're absolutely correct.
It's like the U.S. partnering with Stalin. I mean, during World War II is probably the best example of trying to stop a even worse evil with Hitler.
I think that's correct. So I think it's important to note that world history is very complex. U.S. history is very complex. But we know a few things. Number one, Elliot Abrams has been a stalwart defender of American interests for decades. On the other hand, Representative Omar appears to be consumed by limitless bigotry as she offers numerous dog whistles to radical groups. Representative Omar appears to support groups that are hostile to the U.S. interest, and they're hostile to the interest of many Democrats and independent voters in the United States. And yet, the Democratic leadership in Congress so far has proved unwilling to remove her from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And I think that is a huge mistake, which will come back to bite the Democrats in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. She's tweeted back in January 24th. So, you know, in Venezuela, I can't give everybody a full update on that if you're not following at all. But if you are, you know, there's this opposition to the President Maduro, who has said, you know, recognize me and then I'll call for free and fair elections. And so the people are starving. There's no medicine. It's the richest by assets. I mean, gold, oil. This is a country that should have no problem with, you know, its people being taken care of at a basic level. And they're not being. They're starving in the streets. So this opposition candidate has been backed and recognized as the leader by the United States and most of Western Europe. But she tweeted, this is Congressman Omar, a U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela is not a solution to the dire issues they face. She doesn't, by the way, give a solution to the dire issues or the starving people. Trump's efforts to install a far-right opposition will only incite violence and further destabilize the region. We must support Mexico, Uruguay, and the Vatican's effort to facilitate a peaceful dialogue, not the United States' effort, because you know, that can't be right. That can't be good. And we want to empower a leftist socialist dictator whose people are starving, whose people have no access to medicine. It's disgusting. I think that she's a mix of, she knows what she wants to do in the big picture. She's anti-Semitic. I think borderline now anti-American because of her excuse of groups like ISIS, her excuse of the attacks by groups like Al-Shabaab. And then you look at her dipping her toes into foreign policy on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and it's absurd that she would support America's enemies. That's what that tweet was. Keep Maduro in power. This is an enemy of the United States. Even if they weren't in the economic situation there or political situation they were, no friend of the United States in Venezuela. Okay? But it could be. So we're backing those groups, supporting that, trying to get aid down there. And she's opposed to that. She's opposed to actually getting the people food and resources, I guess, from the United States. See how much food and resources Mexico and Uruguay provide. 1-800-684-3110. Vote's going to be happening soon on the budget deal. We come back, we're going to take all your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. How would you vote on the budget deal?
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And we're examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, aclj.org.
Folks, if you call now, you can still have time to get on the show before we're done today. And I think the two issues are if you have a response to this absurdity by Congressman Omar, which I believe is getting to the point of not just being anti-Semitic, but now anti-American. And she's empowered by Democrat leadership to be on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. You know, when you're a bad actor member of Congress, we're not talking about a removal. She gets elected by her constituents. You don't have to empower people like that to be on committees that get classified briefings on foreign policy who continue to abuse that. If you're going to condemn them, I mean, how many times do they need to be condemned before you say, we're not going to empower you to be on this specific committee or any committee because we don't believe you're mature enough or share in the values that we do as the actual Democrat Party? So far, we haven't seen that action. We've seen the condemnations, but we haven't seen action. So if you have thoughts on that, 1-800-684-3110. And, of course, we know that the Senate is within hours of a vote on the deal to avoid a government shutdown, which also has funding for the border wall in it. It's funding for the Department of Homeland Security. So we're looking at, will Congress get this to the president's desk and ultimately what you believe the president should do? I will tell you, it may not be the most popular at this point, that unless there's a major landmine found, I think we're talking about 6 months plus of funding, not an entire fiscal year. If Congress can actually get something to the president's desk, it's not wonderful. I don't think it should be 100% celebrated. I think there's things you can like within it and things you can dislike and then move on to the next battles. And I think so you do sign it if it gets to the president's desk. But that's, again, if there's no major landmine, like restrictions on what ICE can do, which it doesn't appear that there is. Democrats wanted it there. Doesn't appear that that's there. And then second, that you've got funding for the wall. And more funding for the wall. And as the president said, he'll go elsewhere within the executive branch for additional funding as it becomes necessary. So 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Raj in Virginia on line one. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
The very important question before us is what will help the people of the United States of America? And all these questions have been raised. Even the format in which the Senate members of these committees have acted is despicable. They knew what the going-in position was. They knew what the president had asked for. They knew the non-negotiables. And then we have statements by them raising the white flag even before the negotiations are done.
Well, listen, I mean, Let me be clear with you right now, Raj, and for all of our audience. I've been no super fan of a lot of Republican senators. They are more moderate to begin with. There's a more moderate tinge. It's different than dealing with the House. But listen, they're still the majority. In the House, the Republicans lost the majority. So I think there's political realities we have to deal with, knowing that all these actors within are not necessarily strong supporters of the president's agenda, even if they have an R next to their name.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And Jordan, if to avoid another shutdown, to reopen the government, to pass an appropriations bill, it was always going to have to be a product that could not only get through that Republican Senate, which maybe isn't as conservative as you and I would like, but also get through a Democrat House. I mean, that's really the trickiest part here, is it's got to be a compromise that can get through both chambers and get the president's signature. So, look, I think you can hate the process here, Jordan. I think you can even honestly admit that this is a process and a product that if it happened in the private sector and it was a publicly offered company, the CEO and the CFO would probably not have a job anymore at a bare minimum, Jordan. But you can hate that process, maybe think that the product it produces is not great, and still decide that a yes vote is the best path forward, because otherwise you don't have any funding for the wall and you haven't taken a step towards securing the border. So we got to fix the process, and I think members need to go back to the drawing table on that. But I still think if you believe that, a yes might be the best vote here.
Well, let me go to Teresa in Nevada online too. Teresa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, would there be a possibility of an extension of keeping the government open so that Senate could have a chance to review the proposal from Congress as well as the president?
Well, not just the whole Congress. Than, that's always, just to answer it quickly, it's always an option to do short-term spending bills if that's necessary to keep the government open for a few extra days. But that is not so far what the Senate's planning to do. They are planning to vote on the full package.
Yeah, and it's not for this reason, Jordan. Mark Meadows actually suggested that and offered a one-week continuing resolution, and Speaker Pelosi said she would not do it. So that would have to get passed through both chambers, and the Speaker said no.
So they could do it, but there's not Democrat support, leadership support for it in the House. So there you go on that. I think it answers it pretty clearly. It's an option, but it's an option that's been said no to by the left. Lynette in New York on line six. Lynette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
God bless you, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
My comment is that whichever way the president decides to go on this, I have full faith in his wisdom, and also that I believe that he will do the best thing for us, and I have full faith in his love for this country and his desire as president to protect and defend the country. And along those same lines, he has also called for Representative Omar to be removed.
Let me just play that, Lynette. I'm just jumping in because we are starting to run out of time, and I want to play it for people. He's been very clear on what he thinks should happen to Congressman Omar.
Anti-Semitism has no place in the United States Congress. And Congressman Omar is terrible, what she said. And I think she should either resign from Congress or she should certainly resign from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. What she said is so deep-seated in her heart that her lame apology, and that's what it was lame, and she didn't mean a word of it, was just not appropriate. I think she should resign from Congress, frankly. But at a minimum, she shouldn't be on committees. But certainly.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that they've empowered her to be on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. As the president said, he thinks she should resign. Yeah, I agree. I think that she has no place in the U.S. Congress. She got elected by her people. That's one thing. The next step, though, is that you don't have to empower these people to be on committees like this who share these views. And who have these views, who have continued to show you, this is what I think. And then you say, okay, this is who I'm going to choose to be on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I think, Harry, on this, it's to me, on the one hand, as a partisan, I will say, fine, you know what? Let her continue to espouse this. And that would be one thing if that was the case. But I also know she's getting classified briefings, and she is able to receive intelligence. And so as an American, not just a partisan, but as an American, I don't want her on that committee.
I think that's precisely correct. I think Representative Omar has demonstrated beyond question through her persistent attacks on Israel and American Jews that her behavior going forward is unacceptable, and it's unacceptable to most Americans, both Democrat, Republican, and Independent, and she needs to be removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee immediately.
Then, quick question. Do you think by tomorrow's show, by the time we're on the air, we'll know if this is getting to the president's desk yet, or will it still be potentially then be in a House vote scenario?
I think we will know if it's going to be to the president's desk. I don't know if we'll have a decision from the president by then, though, Jordan. I think he might take a little bit more time.
All right, folks. So tune in tomorrow to Jay Sekulow Live. Stay up to speed with everything the American Center for Law and Justice is working on at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.